We are truly a blessed people. And Lord, you have blessed us with your word. You blessed us with salvation. You have blessed us with the body of Christ. You have blessed us with health. You have given us provisions. You have provided for us. You have blessed us in multiple ways. And we do praise you and thank you for that today. There are folks today who have some great needs. We do want to remember them. Lord, just ask you to work in all of these situations and minister to folks and help them and touch them and just show your grace and power in their lives, we pray. And I pray you bless as we look at your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Colossians 2:19. If I were to ask you this morning, who is the head of the church? Now, this is the church, the body of Christ, all of those who are saved. You would answer what? Christ. Christ is the head of the church. And I would probably not have to argue that point with any of you this morning. Probably none of you are opposed to that thought. In fact, you have been raised in such a way, most of you, that you have believed that all of your life. The one exception I might would be Anna Marie. Raised as a Catholic, she was taught that the Pope is the head of the church. Now, even though we accept this as truth today, we don't argue about it, we don't dissect it in our midst, it has not always been so. In fact, in 1415, a man was burned at the stake, and one of the main reasons was he said that Christ was the head of the church and not the Pope. By the way, anybody know his name? I'm sure you all do. John Huss. Which is interesting. Luther came along years later. John Huss was from a city, Hussania or some such thing, and he changed his last name to Huss, which means goose. And Luther came along later, and of course he was burned at the stake, and he said his goose was cooked. That's where that phrase comes from. Doesn't seem real spiritual, but many people have been killed because they would not say that the queen or the king or the pope was the head of the church. Now, again, we don't face that today. Is it important? Is the head of the church, or who that is that important? Why is it important? Leadership. What does the head decide? That's exactly right, everything. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? He decides what the church believes, who's in the church, who can't be in the church. He decides everything. He is in control. Now, the head is the director of the body. That should be true in your life most of the time. It should also be true in the church. Now, we need to get nailed down once and for all, folks, that Christ is the head of the church. You say, well, Seaman, what's the big deal? I mean, we're not Roman Catholics. We're not Anglicans. This is not a problem for us. But even today, there are many things that are placed above Christ in the church. Let me give you an illustration. Where Joe and Sarah live on Plantation Drive, there are several churches. One of them is one of these mega church things called the Next Level Church. I was curious what they were like, and so I got on their website. On their front page of their website, I found the word fun three times. Now, what is the head of that church? What's the most important thing in that church? Entertainment. And now, if that's true, then when you have your youth meeting on Wednesday night, what do you have? You have a rock band come in, and entertainment, and all that, because that is the head of the church. That's the most important thing. In Colossians chapter 2, Paul has been talking about how human philosophy has been elevated to a position above Christ. Yes, Christ, but you need human philosophy. Christ plus rituals. I meet people all the time, and rituals or baptism is more important than Christ. And that question is, have you been baptized? It's not baptized. Get it straight. Baptized. Why? Because that's the most important thing, to get to heaven, see, to them. Paul has been dealing with that. Now, here's the thing. All throughout your life, you are going to be attacked by false teachers and false teaching. What's going to keep you straight? What's going to keep you from going off on a tangent and saying, okay, I need this in order to be whole. I need this to be spiritual. I need this thing over here. What is it going to be? Here it is, that Christ is the head of the church. Now, it's found in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19. Now, we've actually already taught on this verse. We've taught on this whole chapter. And I gave one little paragraph to this thought, and we're going to take a whole lesson on it this morning. Here it is. In fact, let's start in verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward. Now, let's stop for a minute. What does the word beguile mean? To deceive, to fool, to trick. So people are trying to fool you or trick you. He says, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Here it is, and not holding the head. Now, in your Bible, what do you notice about the word head? It is capitalized. Why? It's deity is always capitalized. This is talking about Christ. He is the head, and we'll nail that down in a moment in other passages. Now, notice what the head does. From which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered, there's one, and knit together, there's two, increasing with the increase of God. Now, let's take a few moments and really nail down the fact that Christ is the head of the church. Now, turn back a few pages, Colossians 1, verse 15. We want to cover this quickly. Colossians 1:15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Who is this? Who's he talking about? Jesus. Christ, all right? The firstborn of every creature, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, I want you to read that first phrase of the next verse with me. Here we go. And he is the head of the body, the church. Let's read that again. And he is the head of the body, the church. Who's the head of the church? Christ is the head of the church. Turn to Ephesians very quickly. Ephesians, back a few pages. Chapter 1. Ephesians 1. And we'll start in verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. I've got a couple more. I'll tell you what. You're in Philippians. Turn quickly. Philippians 4:11. Paul writes such long sentences. I tell you what. Let me jump down to verse 15. We'll jump right in the middle of the sentence. Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now, we can look in Ephesians. We'll look in Ephesians 5. If we get done, we get done. If we don't, life goes on. Ephesians 5:21, I need to read this verse anyway for all the men. This is some of the men's life verse. Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Here it is, men. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. Amen. Isn't that a great verse? For the husband is the head of the wife, notice, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the head of the church. And just to be fair, let me go to verse 25. Husbands, love, this is why all you wives have memorized this verse. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now, Christ undoubtedly, folks, is the head of the church. He is the head because of creation. He created the church. He is sovereign. He is Lord over all things. Now, let me ask a question. If it weren't for Christ, would there be a church? It is called the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the church. We are saved and placed in the body by faith in Christ. By the way, in Ephesians 5, we could go back to that passage. He's also the sanctifier of the body. His work is to cleanse the body and to sanctify, set us apart. Now, let's go back to Colossians 2. So what? Okay? So what? So Christ is the head of the church. So what? All right? Let's look back at verse 19. And he says, first of all, from which all the body by joints and bands having nourishment ministered. What does the head do for the body in that portion I read? Provides? Nourishment. What's nourishment? Food. Food. Why do you need food? You need food to grow. Now it's interesting. He uses the word joints and bands. The bands are probably the muscles, the ligaments, this part that holds. We've got some nurses in here. They explain this to you if you want to know. But you have the muscles, all those things in your body. He said all these things are nourished by the head. Now physically, if you don't eat for a week, what's going to happen to your energy level? For some of us, if we don't eat every 30 minutes, this happens. If you have teenage boys, you know that firsthand. You got to have energy for the muscles to work, for the body to function. Now, he's talking about all the parts of the body. One morning, and by the way, I have been abused this morning by many people in this church. They said, didn't you hold the baby at all while you were there? Because there are no pictures on Facebook of me holding the baby. I want you to know that I had the late morning shift from about 8 to 10 was my shift. And one morning, I was teaching Lily some important truths. And I began to sing, the toe bone's connected to the foot bone, and the foot bone's connected to the ankle bone, and the ankle bone's connected to the leg bone, and the ankle bone. Isn't that great truth? Now, the point of that story was so I could talk about my granddaughter. I've got several more illustrations here in the lesson. But all of these physical parts need nourishment to work. And they're all controlled by the head. The head tells you when to eat. Now, you may not obey. You may eat all the time. It tells you what to eat, what you need for nourishment. Now, it's crucial that the body has nourishment if it's going to grow. Second baby illustration. I told you I had several here. They took Lily back to the doctor Tuesday, I think. And she'd lost some weight. The doctor was kind of concerned and said, you got to force feed this baby. You know, he's got to have more food. Well, after a couple days, that was not a problem anymore. She's drinking everything in sight. And they took her back Thursday, and she's growing. Well, they were concerned because there was no growth. There was no proper nutrition. Now, look, let's make the spiritual application. Do you, as a believer, need nutrition? Oh, my. What happens to a believer who does not get spiritual nutrition? You don't function. You don't grow. It doesn't work. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul is talking to the Corinthians and he said, you folks, I can't feed you with meat. I'm still feeding you milk. He said, you haven't grown. Now, what a sad situation. Now, If we go back to Florida when my wife wants to next week, and the baby hasn't grown any, and actually that's not a great illustration because it would be probably 2 or 3 months, we got problems. And if we go back in a year and the baby still looks like she did when she was born, we got problems. Isn't it tragic that in the church there are people who are children of God, they've been born again, but spiritually, if you could see them spiritually, they're in the same condition they were when they got saved 20 or 30 years ago. Can that happen? You bet it happens. Folks, the body needs nourishment. Paul said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Now, folks, what do you need to grow? Well, my brothers and sisters, what you need a deeper knowledge. You need to have a vision. If you'll send me money, I'll make sure you've got a vision, and then you'll grow. I'll send you a package. In fact, if you'll come to my seminar, I only charge you $200 an hour, and I'll give you the secrets of spiritual growth. You can have a deeper Christian life. In fact, if you'll send me $500, I'll send you a handkerchief that I prayed over, and it will solve all your problems. And by the way, you know the sad thing? There are Christians that send them money hand over fist. Now, everywhere you turn, somebody's going to tell you, you need something else to grow spiritually, to be what God wants you to be. To get spiritual nourishment, you've got to have an ecstatic experience. You need to have visions. You need to do all these things. Is that true? You say, well, Seaman, if I've got everything I need in Christ, why am I not growing? What's the answer to that? See, you can have this thing at home, and you can leave it in your dash so you'll make sure you have it Sunday when you come to church next week. And here's all the spiritual nourishment you need, folks. But if you don't take it, it won't help you a bit. Now look, Christ is the head of the church. He has all of the nourishment. He has provided you with all of the nourishment you need. Now, here is a verse in the Bible that I have, to be honest with you, I have questioned whether this really is the Word of God. Okay, here it is. Man shall not live by bread alone. I think a man could. I really do. My wife makes a sourdough bread. I think maybe I could. I'm kidding, obviously. But how do we live? We grow and we live by the Word of God that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, folks, God has given you what you need to grow. The head will help you to know it's all provided here. He has given you everything you need for life and godliness. It's right here. You don't need to go to some church over here where it's exciting. Oh, we're so exciting. It's great. We just have people jumping and shouting and hooping and hollering, running around the church, and it's the greatest thing in the world. And you'll just come here. You'll grow spiritually. I get a little tired of people leaving our church and saying, well, I'm just not being fed spiritually. Doesn't that sound spiritual? I'm just not being fed. Well, now that can happen in a church. I understand that. But if somebody's faithfully teaching and preaching God's word, it's there for you. Okay? You just got to pull up to the trough, folks. Okay? Now, he said, look, first of all, the head provides nourishment. You don't need to run off on some tangent, have some crazy experience. It's here. Okay? You got that? You with me so far? This means yes. I have total understanding. All right, good. Damon does. We're good. We got one. All right. Secondly, and it says, next phrase, and knit together. Knit together. What does that mean? Not only does it provide nourishment, but the head provides unity. Unity. Now, I got to hurry. In your physical body, you have great diversity, don't you? I mean, I hate for you to look at my body, but it's the only one I got. So, even my hands, which are both called hands, there's diversity, isn't there? It's a good thing. I mean, if this thumb was over here, I'd really be a little strange. You say you are anyway, but there's great diversity. You look at your eyes. Think of the diversity between your eyes and your tongue and your ears. And everything is diverse. It's all different. And yet, your body has to work together. Now, what controls the hands? What allows me to pick this up? The brain, the head. What if the thumb says, I ain't listening? Okay? Okay. I got it. Just lost all my tracks too. No, the head has to. What if the right foot says, I'm going that way, and the left foot says, I'm going that way? You've got serious trouble. It could cause great pain in your life. You need the head to give the body unity. And it's amazing what a body can do when the head is in control. Now let's think of the church. Now, obviously, when we talk about the church, we're talking about the body of Christ, all believers, but let's talk about us. Is there diversity in the church? Well, just look around, okay? Some of you guys are really diverse. I mean, really. We're all different. Aren't you glad? God made us all different. Some of us are spiritually eyes. Some are spiritually ears. Some are spiritually tongues. Some of us, well, I won't go there. Some of us are spiritually hands and feet. We're all different. There's great diversity in the church. Now, what's the danger of diversity? Disunity. Chaos. How many have been to a church where it was chaos? Yeah. Why? Why does that happen? Because Christ is not the head. Maybe a man is the head. Heaven forbid, but maybe a woman is the head. Won't go there either. There's a lot of preaching I could do this morning, but I'm running out of time. When does the church do what it's supposed to do? When does Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church do what it's supposed to do? When Christ is the head. And when Christ is the head, Tom Cole does what he's supposed to do. And David Ellison does what he's supposed to do. And Ed Perkins does what he's supposed to do. And Bennett Woodard does what he's supposed to do. Wouldn't that be neat, Joyce? Wouldn't that be? And everybody in the church, as part of the body, we're under the head and we're obeying the head. And what do you got? Wow. Unity. And something gets done. Where does the unity come from? Well, we all need to have the same vision. We all need to do this or do that. No. If we all could get slain in the Spirit, then we'd have unity. I guarantee you there's more disunity in those kind of churches than there is in ours. Because all that stuff's about pride. See? Oh, I fell harder to the ground than you did when I was slain in the Spirit. You know? Isn't that a weird thing? Well, I'm going on all these tangents. These women get slain in the Spirit, and they have to throw a blanket over them because they're immodest. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Something doesn't seem right about that. You're controlled by the Spirit of God, and it makes you immodest. There's so much junk going on, folks. We need to realize that Christ is the head. Now look, if we go around this room, we start with Mike right here, and everybody does what the head says to do, boy, we got a great church. As soon as one of you, or me, says, uh-uh, to the head, we got problems. And that's why you have the Harmony Baptist Church that splits and becomes the New Harmony Baptist Church, or the Second Harmony Baptist Church. Or what was that one? Who told about that? The Compromise Baptist Church. I don't remember who told me about that. And, oh, it's actually called the Compromise Church. Yeah. Somebody told me about that. Who was that? Somebody here? I don't know who it was. But anyway, isn't that great? The Compromise Church. Well, look, God, Christ is the head of the church. And folks, if you as a member of the body will just obey Christ. And let me just stop for a minute. Are you a believer? Are you a child of God? Okay? If you are, then you're a member of the body of Christ. Okay, what's the obvious next question? Are you obeying the head? You see, if you're in the body of Christ, there's something for every member to do. You may be a hand. Say you're a thumb, in my illustration earlier, and you refuse to do what the head wants to do. Now we've got four fingers that are working away, but they just can't hardly do anything without that thumb. What if the thumb just jumped in and said, hey, wow, hey man, I'm going to follow the head. I'm going to do what the head says to do. Wow, now we can do some things, can't we? Now, one more. We're done. Here we go. First, the head provides nutrition. Secondly, unity. Let's look at the last one. Last phrase. Increaseth with the increase of God. What does the head do? Builds up the body. Builds up the body. Christ builds the body of Christ. That is His work. That is what He is in control of. And again, folks, we're living in a day and an age when everything is trying to build the body. I know what. We need to have more people in our church. We're going to change the... What's the first thing that usually changes? The music. We're going to change the music. get rid of these stinking ties. I'm going to get myself a pair of blue jeans and a black t-shirt. That would pull them in, wouldn't it? Yeah. Isn't it amazing all the junk? People are trying to build their churches mainly on entertainment. We don't need entertainment to build the church. We've got the head. When you make entertainment the head, you're going to get exactly what you asked for, a bunch of heathen. Okay? And they'll have no changed life. Excitement. Oh, let's have... Now, we have a Christmas drama once a year, but you know what? To build the church, we're going to have a drama every Sunday. You say, we have drama at our house every Sunday. That's what I'm talking about. We're going to have this big drama, and we don't want to... Hey, just come as you are. If you want to wear your pajamas, that's fine. We're going to have a Starbucks in the lobby. We do have coffee over here. That's wicked sinful stuff. I can't believe it. But we're going to put it in the lobby with a Starbucks. You can just come there, and we're going to have a little cafe there so you can come Sunday morning and fellowship. What's wrong? We're trying to build the church with everything but Christ. Let me ask you a question. When Peter, when the Lord asked the disciples who he was, Peter said what? Thou art the Christ, Son of the living God. And Jesus said, on this rock I'm going to build, what did he say? I will build my church. Who's in charge of building the church? Christ. So everything we do is obeying the head. Anytime we do something at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church and attempt to build the church, we better make sure that the head agrees. Are you beginning to see, folks, how putting Christ in his rightful position as head controls everything? It provides the nourishment you need. You don't need to run off. Now, I know some of these seminars are helpful if they're giving you the Word of God. But folks, the nourishment you need is right here. The head has provided all you need right here. The head will provide unity in the church. It will unify the parts if we'll just obey the Spirit of God and do what we're supposed to do. And as we do that, you know what's going to happen? Church is going to grow. The Lord's going to build the church. Now, by the way, he's building his church, but what is he using to do it? He's using us to help build the church. But in the end, it is Christ who is the head. He is building the church. Now, there's not a lot of theological discussions today about who the head of the church is, but I guarantee you there's a lot of junk going on that totally rejects Christ as the head. Now, they wouldn't come out and tell you that, but that's really what it is. Now, as a believer, are you operating under the headship of Christ? Are you receiving your nourishment from his word so you can grow spiritually? Are you unified with the church? By the way, if we have unity in the church, that'll cut out a bunch of this. See? Now, I can talk about my body, but you can't. I'll smack you. See? Isn't that the way we ought to be in the church? We love each other. We support each other. We work together. And when that happens, Christ builds the church. Why? Because Christ is the head of the church. Application. Are you filling your place? You're part of the church. You're part of the body of Christ if you're a believer. Okay? Are you doing your job? Are you in unity in the church? Is Christ really the head? Or are you the head? Is something else the head? All right, what's the lesson about today? Christ is the head of the church. If you didn't get that, I blew it big time. Okay? All right. Lord, we thank you for this great truth. I pray you'd help us to apply it in our lives every day. Help us, I pray, as members of the body to fulfill the place that you have for us, to do the work that you've called us to do. Help us to have the unity, great unity in the body as we support one another and do the work of Christ. And Lord, we ask you to build your church. You said you were going to. We're glad, Lord, that really the responsibility is yours to build the church. Our responsibility is to do our part. And I pray that you just help us today to meditate upon this great truth that Christ is the head of the church. And Lord, help us to make you head of our lives, to make you Lord and Master. Help us to serve you and do your will, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.